Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there. How the devil are we all? Good evening. Hope you all well. Hope you all safe. And I'm going to actually start tonight's show with some breaking news. We've got a football game tomorrow.
It's the Premier League Preview Show with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Strap yourself in because we're set up, switched on and ready to go.
Don't get excited, but we have got a game. Although I did hear earlier on a certain radio show that Leicester might be looking at not wanting to go ahead. Please, we will be talking about that. Haven't got Craig with me this evening. We have got a Spurs fan who I will be talking to and be talking about the game tomorrow, about the postponements, rivalry, etc. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. You can catch us live now on YouTube. If you aren't on YouTube, please click that subscribe button and support the channel. And if you listen to this on catch up, welcome along. Thank you very much for listening on your favourite podcast station. This is where you can find us.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Oh, it was all so different last year. This time last year, we were actually sat, would you believe, third in the table. Not a lot of difference for Spurs. They were eighth, so they're thereabouts now. They came and visited the KP on the last day of the season. Harry Kane again. Shame he's not injured. Don't wish him any harm, but but this, we've got playing Spurs tomorrow night. Indeed, and let's say hello to somebody with a great name, Chris. The only problem is he's a Spurs fan. Welcome along, Chris. How the devil are you?
I'm good, thanks. First of all, thanks so much for inviting me on. You were on mine yesterday. Great to talk to you on your own channel. And great to be here.
You're welcome along. And talking of channels, your details are in the description below, but just give your socials a shout out. Where can people find you?
It's on YouTube, similar to yours, live, but Mondays 8 p.m, Fridays 12:30 p.m. Let's Talk Tottenham. But if you go to Twitter at LTalkTottenham, you can find all the information there as well. And we're on podcasts as well, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Brilliant. Good evening to David. Hello, Chris. I almost forgot we played in the Premier League. I know. It is ridiculous. And I must admit, sometimes we have guests on here and you're struggling. What are we going to talk about? And, you know, you're diving into the past and trying to get... But we've got so much to talk to you about because... Like
there's
I said,
no game to talk about, is there? We've got to talk about past games in a long, long distant past.
It is nice to we have actually, like I say, we are actually playing tomorrow. And I did a show, and if anybody's watching, it was Football and COVID. If you go onto the YouTube site, it is on there, and you can catch that up. It was about the situation at the moment with COVID and football. Hello to Miss Molina. Welcome along. I know she's going to like me and not you, mate, because she's an Arsenal fan. So I'm really sorry.
Well, if she was watching my stream yesterday, she'll see that I was defending Arsenal about the decision to postpone the game. Well, I'm sure we'll get onto that later on.
And good evening to Terry, regular on here. How the devil are you, sir? Thanks for joining us. Yeah, so like I say, if you go on to Let This Lie Die YouTube channel on YouTube, obviously, you can see we did a whole program about it. But I just want to ask yourself, Chris, it's getting a bit silly now, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't blame the teams for asking to cancel. It's the Premier League's fault. As soon as we cancelled in, it must have been December, with 8 COVID cases, which I'm assuming is genuine, because I'm assuming it's not like, oh, we've got a player with an injury. Okay, he's got an injury. I'm assuming with COVID, with the situation, that it's okay, we prove it to us in your PCR test. And anyone with half a brain when surely could know and see that this was when Omicron was getting at its peak, so it's going to happen again and again and again. The Premier League should have therefore said, okay, right, okay, this is going to happen again. We need to set a precedent here. So if a team has X number of COVID cases, then we can cancel the game. But they haven't. And it's essentially a loophole. So Arsenal had thought they might lose because they had players out. And in any walk of life, if you can find a loophole to get yourself out of something or benefit you in some way, you're going to take it. So I don't really blame it. It's a little bit pathetic from Arsenal in a sense that, you know, they've then gone and loaned a player out the next day. And then you get idiots like Piers Morgan saying, I don't know what Spurs are worried about. Our reserves would have beaten them anyway. Play the game. But there's a loophole there. They've got all their players out, Africa Cup of Nations, injuries, suspensions, whatever. And there's a way to get out of the game and play it at full strength. So, I mean, I would have loved to have played the game anyway, even if it was full strength Arsenal, because it's a London derby. But at the end of the day, the Premier League just very cowardly. And then Leeds end up playing the game. Look what they did with a weakened side and a youth side and everything, away to a West Ham who are on fire at the moment. So,
It's got to stop.
It's got to stop. The Premier League have to say, right, okay, this is the rules for a postponement, X number of COVID cases, whatever it is. If it's just injuries and no COVID, that's your problem. Injuries have been part and parcel, and suspensions as well for the game for donkey's years. But they won't, will they? And it will just carry on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, it's just stupid now.
Yeah. Say hi there to Dan Turf Morehouse TV. He says, no joke. That's bad, Dan. Looking forward to our game. So that was one of the first ones that got cancelled. And of course, Burnley was saying at the start, oh, what everybody's doing, we know we've not got any players, we should be playing. And now they've got half their team out.
Well, the Burnley think, game I don't mind because...
It's the weather.
If it's dangerous, isn't it? If it is snowy and icy and everything, it is dangerous. In the same way, if you've got like 10 players with COVID, it's dangerous. Yeah. One player with COVID... Not sure about that. And like I say, it lies with the Premier League. They've got to sort the rule out and put that in force. Otherwise, teams will constantly be going through these loopholes. And they're perfectly within their rights to do that.
I mean, hello to Niall, by the way, just joined us. How the devil are you, Man United fan? Send me a message on Twitter, mate. I want to sort of have a word with you about a quiz. But you see, to my point, my mind... when you buy these players, and the excuse, what's that? I'm going to sneeze. I hate that.
Yeah.
excuse me. You know, when you think you're going to, and it's not quite coming. Yeah, but when you buy players, you know, if you're buying a player from Zambia or you know, Tunisia, you know But the chances are, that if they're a decent player, you're going to lose them at this time of year. So that isn't an excuse. And it doesn't matter how big the club is, whether it's Man City, Tottenham, Leicester, Burnley, we've all got the same size squad that we're allowed to name. And I think, for me, just when these sort of things happen, expand. It's 25 man, isn't it? So expand it to 30. And say those extra five have got to be from your academy or from your under-23s. You know, we had six academy players on the pitch at the end of our FA Cup game against Watford, which were a Premier League team, and we beat them 4-1. And I'll tell you what, it was a pleasure to see those players. And, you know, you don't expect to see them every week, but when you've got these problems, and I think it was Ralph Husenthal from the Southampton manager that said, and I get totally what he says, because I'm thinking, like, now when we play you, we've got James Justin back, which we didn't have before, and he's been a big miss. But that's not fair, because when we would have played you, we didn't have him. And, you know, Ralph's saying that when you play these games, you should play with the same team that would have been available to, or the same players that would have been available to you.
I'm not sure if he had a lot of injuries and he had postponements that he'd be doing that in March, you know, if they were in a relegation battle or fighting for the last European places. But every team who's had postponements, it's benefited them in some way, I would assume.
Yes.
Based on that it's going to happen after January, and if, you know, there's a possibility of signing players and things like that. But it's just, it's the Premier League. The Premier League needs to sort it out and put rules in place so that these things can't happen, because this will happen again and again and again. I mean, it happened all the way through January with the African Cup of Nations if big players are out there.
It's just
stupid. So I really hope tomorrow's game does happen. You were mentioning
I think it's at this stage now, it's less than 24 hours. I think that would be disgusting if they cancelled it now, because it's not nothing going to change in that time.
Well, that's the other thing as well with the Arsenal game is, I think it's Friday, 6:30 or something like that, the request came in, and then it's 6:30 on a Saturday that it gets cancelled. It's like, I don't know if you're going to cancel it or not, because the situation hasn't changed. So just do it early.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not so bad if the majority of fans are coming from London there, but when you've got like Burnley and Spurs going all the way to Burnley, and they've been given less than 24 hours when they've probably already gone up there and got hotels. It's a disgrace.
Yeah. David says here, Ghana trailing 1-0, we need a Marty back. So good news. I'd often say that about England, but we know England are going to lose, so we'll get the players back. I want to talk to you about the rivalry, because you're not what we would call a natural rival. You know, it's not like, say, Nottingham Forest, East Midlands, Derby or Derby County, somebody like that. Yes, you beat us in, I think it was the 99 League Cup final. But obviously, it all kind of came to a head in a way with the Premier League winning season, when it looked like it was going to be either you or us. Nobody else was in the frame. It was going to be you and me. I was sat all that season through the... we're next to a Spurs fan, and we were both sat there all season. You're going to win it. We ain't going to win it. We always shoot ourselves in the foot. Neither of us were convinced that we were going to win it. Of course, it led to the famous statement, and I would be letting my fans down if I didn't say that you did actually come third in a two-horse race. But
I have to go now.
But I mean, Leicester fans see that rivalry now. Do Spurs fans see that rivalry with Leicester? Or?
I'm not sure. What I will say is, I used to really like Leicester, and then you beat us in the league. So for a while, I didn't like you very much. But I think our rivalries are always going to be the Arsenals, Chelsea's, possibly West Ham's. And then obviously we want to be winning the league and getting in the top four every season, as I'm sure you guys do. But so it's whoever's there will be our main rival. So I think, being that you haven't won the league again and again and again, I think... And the fairy tale of it as well, I think 5,000-1 at the start of the season. Yeah. I think if it was someone like an Arsenal winning it, I think we'd still be furious about it and things like that. But I mean, it's difficult to hold that much of a grudge at a kind of once in a lifetime kind of thing. Yeah. And I think Spurs fans were more angry, not the fact that you beat us, it's the fact that we didn't beat you. We had opportunities. I think, was that the season where we drew 2-2 with Arsenal with Harry Kane scoring that goal, which would have put us top for that weekend?
Well, and then probably
we lost to West Ham as well.
Every other club in the top six seemed to be sort of not wanting to win it.
And then, of course, you came to White Hart Lane and beat us 1-0. If we'd have won that game, the whole tide could have turned. So I think it's more the fact that Spurs fans were angry at themselves and their team for not winning. And then, obviously, they're being 2-0 up at Chelsea and giving you the tie. But, I mean, by then, you were going to win that league because you didn't lose a game. Yeah. But, so I think it's more Spurs fans angry at Spurs rather than angry at Leicester.
And to be fair, drag it out a bit, and then Eden Hazard popped up and said, "No, I'm going to do it for you."
I don't think any fan in football and no Spurs fan can really begrudge Leicester and say that you didn't deserve it. I think it's just, we should have won it. It was our chance to win it. But then Arsenal who finished second would have probably seen it as well as our chance to win it.
I think I don't think we've beaten you probably since then, but we've got a game coming up, as I say, fingers crossed, tomorrow. So let me just get the details up here, if it is going to work, which obviously is never a guarantee. like I say, guys, if you are watching this, please do subscribe. And it would be much appreciated. So, here we go. I've got the wrong one up. You see, have I?
We've all done it, haven't we?
Yes, I've got the wrong one up. There we go. Let's, talk amongst yourselves for a moment, guys. Yes. I mean, how confident are you at the moment?
Well, I've been saying for a couple of years now since Eriksen left, we need someone creative in that team. We've got Harry Kane, who is creative, but then you lose your striker up the top. So you lose the player that the creative player is trying to feed. So I think going away to Leicester, you will attack us. And I think teams attacking us suit us because we're a counter-attacking team. It's teams that sit back and the onus is on us to break them down. Without that creative player, we really struggle with that. So I think, I mean, that game last year that you mentioned, I won't go on too much about it, but you were obviously fighting for fourth, so you were attacking, we need to win that game. And then we were able to pick you off a couple of times because it was a counter-attacking game. So I'd expect Brendan Rodgers generally plays with an attacking team, doesn't he, and going to attack and win. And then fortune does favour the brave, but
I think what we like about teams like yourself, Man City, Liverpool, you allow us to play. You give us that freedom. And as much as Harry Kane likes a goal against... Jamie Vardy does. he likes one against you. This is going so slow. This is driving me mad.
Are you confident, being that you're at home? You've got games in hand as well.
It's Spurs. never confident when it comes to playing Spurs. And that's the trouble, I mean, I'd have been more confident playing you under Nuno
than I am under Conte.
That is a farce at the start of the season. I mean, Nuno was your number, was it 10th or something,
Well, I haven't got enough digits on my hand to count how many it was. I didn't really see the point of that. But the whole Mourinho cycle was a complete waste of time. You bring him in to win a trophy, he gets a chance for a trophy. You sack him 6 days before he gets a chance to win it. So it's a complete waste of time. So I don't really understand that. And then you go and get Nuno, who Daniel Levy put a message out saying we're going back to the ethos of Spurs, attacking football. And then you get a world-renowned defensive coach. And
Mourinho doesn't necessarily think things through, David Levy, does he?
No, but I mean, Mourinho was defensive, but it was defensive with the understanding that Kane and Son will get our goals. We've got to get them in the game. So we had an attacking threat. I don't mind defensive at all, as long as you've got an attacking threat. But with Nuno, it was just sit back. And it was almost like he didn't know Kane and Son were playing. And then so easy to play against us.
Yeah. as you can see, touch wood, we've now got it working. You see, they say preparation is everything, and for me, preparation is nothing because I forgot to do it. I forgot to load the slides up, and StreamYard likely to do that. So we're playing tomorrow, like we say. Yeah. It's going to be on BT, 7:30. I get sometimes, I feel like, who is running this, the Premier League or Sky, BT, Amazon, you know?
And it's all to do with money now, isn't it? Yeah. So it's all the TV companies and the Premier League and the clubs at the top.
It seems to be. But it is on BT tomorrow, so you're able to watch it on there, or I'm sure some people have got other ways of watching it. That was, like I say, last season, last game of the season, 2-4. Kane got his usual couple of games. He got one against us, didn't he? But he always gets one against us. Obviously, when he puts an England shirt on, I love him. But when he's playing against us, I'm sorry, I hate the guy. Like you said earlier, you know, it was like we'd swapped over because it wasn't a performance that we were, you know, we'd put in a lot better than that, but we were going through our usual sort of but dropping off at the end. But you were out of it and suddenly you produced that performance.
Yeah. Well, that's the performance and the kind of way of playing that Spurs fans, well, certainly me, were hoping that we'd have since Gareth Bale came back. Let Gareth Bale play and let Gareth Bale do what Gareth Bale does. But
yes,
he's not a Mourinho player, is he really? And I mean, there were elements of Bale that were terrible away to Arsenal, where Tini and Odegaard, Victor, I think Doherty, it was the shreds because Bale wasn't tracking back. But you know you're not getting that with Bale. But if you give him a kind of a free roll, get other people to do his running, which kind of happened in the second half here, and then he's got two goals and turned the game. And obviously he went back, so we haven't really seen Gareth Bale as Gareth Bale.
No.
Well, we didn't at all because fans weren't allowed in the stadium, but...
Well, I'm going to say there was only 8,000 there last year, so hopefully the atmosphere will be a bit more intimidating. But, I mean, Bale, it was almost like one of those placate the fans signing.
Yeah.
You know, rather than did you need him? Well, Mourinho didn't play him really. I mean, you're bringing a player of that stature back, like Ronaldo at Man United, you play them because of who they are. But Mourinho, you know, he didn't start this game. He was on and off. And I just think, like you say, it was almost, let's keep the fans happy. We'll bring back, you know, Gareth Bale. That'll please them. It seems to be one of those signings for you.
Yeah, you're probably right there. And I was a morve on, spent £90 on a Bale shirt and he's gone there. But it was in the middle of lockdown, wasn't it? And, give yourself a treat, buy yourself a present. But, yeah, it's just, it's very strange. You mentioned Ronaldo there. It's almost like Ronaldo doesn't suit United at all either, being that they've got young players now who will track back, and Ronaldo's not going to track back. Same as Bale, I mentioned the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can fit them into a team where they don't have to do those tracking back, you see the results. Like, Ronaldo's still an unbelievable player, unbelievable finisher, and Bale still would do a job for a top team as well if you gave him that kind of free role.
I think he would.
Yeah, it just wasn't to be.
But again, I think Ronaldo to Man United was purely to stop him going to Man City, because that would have annoyed so many Man United fans. Rob, I wish I had your optimism there. He says Vestergaard will have Kane in his pocket.
There's ever a season for him to, it's this season, because Kane has not looked himself.
Well,
Vestergaard... I still maintain the lack of creativity there isn't helping him at all. And certainly... I mean, when we had Eriksen in his prime, I mean, Eriksen's talked about coming back to the Premier League, which fills me with a lot of worry, even if he came back to Tottenham with what happened to him and the demands of football these days. But, you know, Eriksen would pick the ball up from the defenders, ping it 50 yards without looking to Sun. He's one-on-one, skims the defender, so much space in the middle, and then we generally score. And what he also did, which is key in away games, Dembele as well, who I think was so underrated. Dembele and Eriksen generally, when we conceded the goal, they got on the ball, stopped the game for 5 minutes, and then we go again, and it stops any momentum that the other team had from scoring a goal, which we just don't have anymore. So now if the team's on the up and score a goal, specifically an early goal, we go so deep, we've got no one to put the foot on the ball, control a game, slow a game down and take the sting out of the game. And I mean, you have a creative player, you obviously get that creativeness going forward, but you also get that, what I've just said there, taking the sting out of the game, calming the game down. And we don't have that. So Eriksen would be that player, but I worry about him coming back to the Premier League or playing football again, really, certainly with the demands of it. But that's the kind of player I think we need.
Well, hopefully, kind of player. I agree. And we're supposed to be one of the teams that are in for him, you know, us, Newcastle and Brentford. I mean, you know, Brentford, you've got the manager connection. At Leicester, you've got the fact that Vestergaard and Schmeichel know him from the Danish team. And, of course, Newcastle, you've got money, basically.
Yeah. I guess with Leicester, what wouldn't be so bad is that he's a similar player to Maddison. So he wouldn't necessarily have to play every single game, every 90 minutes. So he could be vested here and there. Whereas if he goes to Brentford, he's going to be playing every game, every 90 minutes. And probably with Tottenham as well and Newcastle, certainly. And there's a host of clubs interested in him.
I mean, yeah, I'd say, I worry about it. Rob did say Vestergaard will have Kane in his pocket. I was going to say Vestergaard's got bloody big holes in his pocket. And that's caused usually by the ball going through it and into the net. Not our best £15 million ever spent. No. Spencer, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Loving your avatar there. Great Leicester till I die fan, hopefully. Conte has fallen out with every owner he's worked, only a matter of time. And good evening to Mike, who's taken a break from his darts coverage to pop on. Michael, how the devil are you? Hope it went well earlier for you. I didn't get a chance to see you reply in your stream because I was coming on to get ready for this, but hope it went well for you, mate. So I was surprised at this. This is our head-to-head in the Premier League. And we've played each other 30 times. It's very tight. 12 wins and 13 for you. And I think possibly that might be going back. We probably got more wins when we were in under the O'Neill years. Because you certainly seem to have had this the dagger over us recently. But, 12-13 with five draws. And the form going into it. You haven't lost under Conte yet.
No, those Chelsea games just showed how far off the top four that we are. And with all due respect to those teams, Watford, Southampton, Palace, Norwich, and an understrength Liverpool team in their midfield. I mean, they did still have Salah and Mane, but we were at home. Yeah. They were quite an easy run of games for Conte there, certainly at the start. And then Chelsea was right. Okay, the honeymoon's well and truly broken now. And, I know we're fifth, I think, and I think we're fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
And you're 10th. But, you know, with the games in hand, it's not really that set. And you at home, you're still a top team. You just had a bit of a bad run of form.
I think teams seem to get this every now and again. And to me, I'm kind of calling this our reality check season. You know, because we've had two seasons where we finished fifth and fifth, and we won the FA Cup. And I should explain, Spurs fan, that's a trophy. We won the FA Cup.
I know what they are, I just don't see them that often.
I was going to say Community Shield, but as anybody that watches this channel knows, I like to call it the English Super Cup. This is almost like a reality check season for us, you know. The other problem as well is, for me, over the past couple of seasons, there's only really been Leicester that have been challenging fourth, fifth place. But this season, you're back, Arsenal are back, West Ham are up there doing it. You know, Brighton have had a reasonably good spell. Man United, you know, being Man United at the moment. So I think this year, other teams have come into the equation. Like I say, last year, we wouldn't even have spoken about Spurs as top four. Mm. But I was listening to something the other day, and this, you know, you were favourites for that top fourth place. But
yeah,
you know,
I'm not sure about that. But
I mean, to me there, I mean, yes, we beat Liverpool, which was totally surprising after we lost to them. We had it in the bag against them in the Carabao Cup, and then we lost it on penalties. That means, and to me, the Man City game, it's one of those games where the score doesn't tell you everything. You know, yeah. They were 4-0 up at half-time, and we got it back to 4-3. And you're thinking, like you said earlier, where was that team in the first half?
The thing with Man City is they're by far and away the best team in the league, possibly Europe. And you give them half chances, they'll score goals. You give them four half chances in the first half, 4-0 down. Whereas, you know, you do that to us, maybe. You maybe concede one or two goals. You don't concede four.
No.
And I mean, Man City are a cut above anyone else at this
point. No, they are. I'm having more fun watching the bottom of the table than the top, because I think Man City have got it in the bag, to be honest with you. Without the injuries, we'd be right up there. We haven't had a settled back four all season. First, before we go on to that, though, I did want to sort of say, I mean, you mentioned it there, the Chelsea games. I mean, what happened? I mean, you know, they...
I mean, we've had a problem this season. I don't know what it is, but London derbies, we just don't start. We have to get to half-time and take a bit of a pounding and a beating to start going. And I mean, Man City are obviously top of the pile, but Liverpool and Chelsea aren't that far behind. And they're both a cut above us. I know we drew with Liverpool, but, you know, that was at home. And the tactics Klopp had there with leaving 2-1-2 at the back was bizarre, to say the least. And we should have won that game. But, yeah, Chelsea, like, I mean, they should have been 4-0 up in the first half in that first leg and game out of sight. And if that was Man City and we played like that, it would have been 4-0 game over. I went to the home game thinking, okay, right, let's really go out them like a train, like we did against Ajax in that second half, and just didn't happen. And we just made another mistake. And then, it's just. But I don't know what it is, but we don't see. But us not starting well isn't a new thing. Even under Pochettino, we didn't start well. Yeah. It's just that we had such a good team in those days that when we didn't start well and start the first half well, it was 0-0. And then we play better in the second half, and then we go win the game. Now we don't start well; we're behind at half time.
You mentioned again Pochettino there. There was a lot of talk about him coming back. It now looks like he may be going to Man United, although that's another show. Are you happy with Conte, or would you have preferred to have waited and maybe got Pochettino in?
I'll always love Pochettino for what he did, and I thought he deserved the chance to turn it around. And he told Levy we needed a painful rebuild, which we're still needing now. Levy just didn't listen, and it ultimately cost his job. I do think if he did come back when he was rumoured, it's too early. He was only sacked 18 months ago. But what you get with him, what we had with him, if it had been allowed, is you've got longevity there. He could have easily stayed there for 20 years if he got what he wanted, being able to rebuild. Yeah. Conte generally doesn't stay at clubs that long. So someone on your comment put it that he always falls out with the owners, which he's looking fed up at this moment in time. So hopefully it's not a really early one. But you can't imagine that he's going to last 4, 5, 6 seasons at Spurs. It could be the club where he does stay. I'm not so sure. So I think at the very most, in 2-3 seasons, we're looking for a new manager anyway. And by then, like you say, Pochettino might be at Man United. I'd be devastated if he goes to another Premier League team. Because I always thought that we got Nuno on a 2-year deal, and at the same time is when PSG extended Pochettino's by a year on a 2-year deal. When we got Conte on an 18-month contract, Poch had 18 months left. So I always thought that it's a done deal. After when Poch's contract is up, he's coming back. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. I was told I was absolutely crazy by many Spurs fans, which, I've been told before, but, stranger things have happened. So I thought there might have been a, I don't like to use the term because of the Harry Kane situation, a gentleman's agreement with the Pochettino: when your contract's up, you come back and we'll get rid of our manager. And then Levy gets two managers, one out, one in, and no compensation paid for any. But yeah, I don't know. At this moment in time, Conte is a, well, he's an elite manager. So he is the best manager that was available. So I'm happy with Conte, but he needs to be backed. And
but do you not think, and this was my thoughts, when you've got him eventually, that at the start of the season, he probably had demands that Levy wasn't prepared to meet. And like I say, when you went back to him, It was then a situation that you needed him more than he needed you. And he was able to say, right, well, if I come now, I want this, 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 and this promising. And of course, you were that desperate that you had to agree to it.
When he came in, I thought, well, we're spending money because he's going to have had those reassurances. But as we know, I have no doubt that Harry Kane got an agreement in verbally with Levy that he could leave if we weren't challenging or whatever, and he's gone back on that. Well, he didn't go back on that, did he? He's obviously said you can go. He just hasn't said what price was, and Man City just didn't meet the price that he wanted. So,
but what are your feelings towards? Sorry, first of all, say hi to Anthony. Chris, I think this would be a good game. You beat Liverpool 1-0. I think you can do this. I'll go for a 2-1 win to Leicester. That's nothing to do with the fact that you're an Arsenal fan, is it, Anthony?
I think both teams will score.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll come on to score prediction later. And hi to another Arsenal fan coming out the woodwork tonight. Static, how the devil are you, sir? Thanks for coming in. What are the fans' feelings towards Kane now? Because obviously at the start he wanted out. He was quite, you know, he did a Mahrez. You know, he had a strop, went off, didn't train and what have you. And now he's back. Is it all forgiven, all roses in the garden, or, you know?
Not sure it's quite forgiven. Yeah, if he was banging in 20 goals a season, I think it would be a lot more, oh, we don't care, he's still here. I mean, in the summer, no Spurs fan would have begrudged him wanting to leave, because he's always said, if we're progressing, he'll stay. If we're not, I want to win trophies. And we weren't progressing, we regressed. So no fan would ever begrudge him. It's just the way he went about it. And I just, Daniel Levy saw him and his agent coming with that six-year deal without a get-out clause, as you know. Grealish put £100 million get out clause in his contract, and then Man City was like, okay, we'll pay that. Okay, off you go. Same with Chris Wood.
Yeah.
Now he's at Newcastle. So I can't believe, as soon as he did that, Levy's got him on toast for 6 years. But yeah, it's the way that the lack of training and what happened, I don't know, but it took him a long while to come out and put a statement out. And yeah, he's. Start of the season, fans didn't like him at all, and a lot of fans didn't. I wouldn't say all of them. A lot of fans think he's still not trying hard enough because he wants to go. I'm not sure about that. Arsenal, when we lost 3-0, the third goal, he made a mistake, slipped over, ran back 70 yards, was unlucky with a ricochet. If you're not bothered about something, it's somebody else's problem. You don't track back 70 yards and sprint back. So I think he is trying. I think it's just the lack of creation is a problem.
And I think
he's having
to
do too much. But in terms of the rest of the fan base, I think it's kind of 50-50 split on loving him again, not keen on him.
And I think players, you know, even if they want to leave, they've got to be seen as trying. Otherwise, if Man City, whoever's looking at it, you're going to look and go, well, he's a bit of a petulant player. He's not the sort of player we want. Or is this his form now? You know, is this what we're going to be buying? You know, so I think players do sign, do try, sorry, even when they want to leave. But talking of Harry Kane, unfortunately, and we spoke beforehand about Kane likes a goal against Leicester. Fun fact number one, in his entire, let me just put it on there. In his entire club career, Spurs striker Harry Kane has scored more goals against Leicester City in all competitions than he has against any other side. 11 of these have come in the last 8 appearances, including a 4-goal haul at the King Power last. I don't think he got all 4, did he? But No. This is why.
That was a 16-17 season when was it 7-1 or 6-1 or something?
Yeah, yeah. I think they got that mixed up with the thing. But he does. I really wish, to be honest with you, I know Son's out, but I really wish, and no disrespect to Kane, but I wish he was ill as well. But having said that, James Maddison back in form. He's been directly involved in 7 goals in his last 6 Premier League appearances, 4 goals and 3 assists, more than he had in the previous 26 matches combined. So it's nice to see him back. Fun fact, 4 Premier League matches against Spurs. So 1-2, lost 2, as many as they had in their previous 12 against them. So, you know, like we showed earlier, it is quite close between us. Are you looking at this and thinking, yeah, Leicester, you know, that we've conceded more goals from set pieces than any other team in the division? We've got the highest goals against of any of the top 10. Are you looking at this and thinking, Kane, go on out there and, you know, get a hat trick?
Yeah, I think so. I think Kane will as well. You know, he'll know that stat that you put up there with the amount of goals he scored, and Conte will know, you know, where I'm nowhere near tactical enough to be like a manager, but Conte will know exactly where the frailties are in your set piece defending to get some goals. So I think we have to look at this, being that Leicester are 10th and you know, you were 3rd this time last season, like you mentioned earlier, and so you've dropped off a little bit, you conceded a few goals. We've got to look at this as though this is 3 points that we can get, but then, you know, we're not firing on all cylinders, so I would imagine Brendan Rodgers and Leicester will be thinking exactly the same thing. But yeah, it sounds a cliche, doesn't it? But the first game first goal is huge. If you get it, your fans will be up. We don't have the player to, like, calm the game down. If we get it, we've got something to play for. We can then be a bit defensive. You'll have to attack and then try and ping you on the counter-attack. But, yeah, we'll definitely be looking at this as a game to, you know, get back on track after those 2 bad Chelsea games. And Chelsea away is our next league game. So, really, we can't really afford to lose this game because the odds don't back us against Chelsea after what happened in the last 2 weeks.
Anthony says that, I know you're in 10th, but I think you'll finish 2 places higher than you are now in, obviously, 8th. I want 7th. I want 3 places higher. So at least we've got some sort of European football. Where would you say, though, at the moment, Chris, that the weaknesses are in the Spurs side?
Oh, how long have you got?
You've not got as many as us. That's the thing.
Romero being injured, we don't have that commanding centre-back. I quite like Dyer, but he's got a mistake in him. Sanchez, I like. He's got a mistake in him. And Sanchez has been played in the centre of that 3. And to be in the centre of the 3, you need to be commanding and reliable. And he isn't. Right-back, Everson's okay, but he can't cross the ball. Veggion's probably our best defender that we've got there. Maybe Dyer, maybe I'm being a bit harsh. Højbjerg and Skip are good, but Højbjerg needs a rest. I mean, he played every game last season. He played every game apart from the final because they didn't get there in the Euros. They obviously had the mental fatigue of what happened to Eriksen, and he's played pretty much every game this season. Winks has done quite well in the last couple of weeks, so I think we're okay there. But Ndombele, Dele, they need to go. I think Ndombele is a terrible influence in the dressing room. He seems to sulk all the time. Lo Celso, when he comes in, doesn't do anything. And then obviously we've got Son injured, which Son is world class, I think. And obviously you can't really replace him with we haven't got another world class player there. And Kane, because we haven't got that creative midfielder, he has to come in deep and then do that. And then we don't have the striker. So I think our main weaknesses are the defensive frailties and the lack of forward depth.
This could go to about being a 9-9 then at this rate with our defence and your defence.
My heart can handle that, but if we went to 10 to us, I'd take it. But,
now, we both picked a one to watch. I I'm so impressed with this player. I'd pick him over Harry Kane. Unfortunately for you, unfortunately for us, I didn't realise it. He's out injured. So the one to watch, I mean, it has to be for me Harry Kane because of his history against us, you know. But
the counter attacking game, if it is Lucas Moura, is the only one who, when we were playing terribly under Nuno, would get the ball, run at defenders, and defenders will tell you what they don't like is players running at them, and what they hate even more is players running at them who are quick. But yeah, so if it's an open game, he could be dangerous. Obviously, without Sun there. But again, he needs the ball in space. And I think without the creative midfielder, I think we'll rely on you attacking us and then us breaking the play up in the transition and pinging it to the forward players quickly.
And you went for Patson Daka. I mean, I don't know if you've seen much of him. Has he impressed you from what you've seen of him?
Yeah, he's young, he's quick, he's got an eye for goal. And I mean, Brendan Rodgers isn't a bad manager to have if you're an attacking player, because he plays attacking football, so you're always going to get a chance to show what you can do. And he scored a couple of goals. He is young, so it's going to take him a little time to get used to the Premier League. But from what I've seen so far, he's always a threat, similar to Son, always a threat. And, you know,
he got four in one game in Europe. He is sort of a Vardy Mark II.
But he's one of those players, if you give him space, give him time, he'll cause you a lot of problems.
Yes, And, I mean, we've got him, to be honest with you. Yeah.
And he's young, and he'll only get better and better and better. And he's got someone like a Vardy there to kind of, I mean, he's not an out-and-out striker like Vardy is, but in terms of movement and getting in right positions. Yeah.
I mean, we've got, you know, Inacho's in... scoring wonder goals in AFCON. Vardy's out for 8 weeks. But I think, as Mike says there, Daka looks to be a continental-type player. He's so at home in... Well, he wasn't when we were in the Europa League. I would say Madders also is in excellent form at the moment. And I'm sorry, yeah, we've been there, Ant. Ant brings it up again, but I got that in after about 30 seconds, mate. You don't need to worry. I would have been letting you down if I hadn't, you know. But we've got Justine's coming back, and we've got a lot of players back now, which is the nice thing, that we're slowly. So hopefully our season's going to start going round. But we've had I do this thing on the website LeicesterTillIDie.com, where it was myself and some ex-players, we bit of a do score predictions. I'm doing a bit of a Sheffield United, because last season I won it, this season I'm bottom, but nobody's gone there. I won't predict against Leicester, that's the trouble. Last season it worked for me. This season it's not. Nobody unfortunately has gone there, Chris, for your team to win. I've gone 2-1 to Leicester, because I can't just back against my own club. I have a feeling we're going to have a draw, but it's Tottenham, and I just want to beat you so much after the way you've beaten us just recently. So, Ian Marshall, Steve Walsh, Jerry Taggart, and Ian Wilson have all gone for draws, either 2-2 or 1-1 there between them. Steve Lynix, who absolutely hates Tottenham.
What makes you say that? I can't see where that's come from.
And he hates Arsenal as well. He does the prediction league with me. He's on at 9 o'clock tonight. We do the prediction league, and whoever Arsenal and Tottenham are playing, he will always just go for the other team. And he refused to even pick one when you were due to play each other last week. So I take that 3-0 with a pinch of salt, Steve. But no, I've gone for 2-1. How do you see this going?
Well, I can't do predictions for Spurs because I used to do them and we lost every game, so I can't do them anymore. But I'll give you a prediction without a scoreline. But I don't think what Steve said, Lynix, will happen, because I think both teams will score. I think both teams' defences are frail. But it could be anything. Like I said, the first goal is huge. But I think the way that you play, I think, suits us. So I'll go a Spurs win, but it will be by the odd goal, maybe 2-1, 3-2 or something like that. It won't be like a 3-0 to anybody, I don't think, or 4-1. No. It could be a 4-1 if Harry Kane decides to get his shooting boots on and give him space, but then it could be a 4-1 if, I'm assuming, Daka plays and we give him space. I'll go Spurs win, but I won't give you a score, unfortunately, because I can't do
that. Coward.
I don't mind being called a coward. I stream all the time. I ask people for their predictions, and they ask me. I'll go, I can't give a score, so I'm being cowardly. I'm asking you the question.
I know I'm conscious of the time. I know you got to go. You got another show to do. Just before you go, and thank you so much for coming on, I just want to have a very quick chat about this. The UEFA Conference League. Now, I know Spurs fans didn't want it. You didn't want to be in it. Arsenal fans were glad they weren't in it. And I do feel that's because you obviously are used to Champions League all the time, and maybe you saw that this was a bit below you. Now, as Leicester fans, I'm happy in the Conference League because, to me, it's Europe. And if we win it again, and, you know, we would get a trophy, you know, those big silver things that you get at the end of a competition. Oh, no, you don't, do you?
But 1999.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to go back to last century, haven't we?
You know, but, well, I can't do anything in this century, can I? That's all.
No, exactly. I don't agree. You know, we got knocked out of the Europa League, so we shouldn't be dropping down into the conference. And as much as I don't agree with Champions League teams dropping down into the Europa League. But you were in it. I don't know whether you took it that seriously or not. But you got chucked out, really, didn't you? You didn't not qualify. They chucked you out because, again, you didn't have enough players.
Well, the whole chucking out was an absolute disgrace because we had a COVID situation, and you've got this whole COVID situation where people have lost jobs and everything like that. You know, if you or me have COVID, we've got to stay indoors. Anyone who's been in contact with us has to stay indoors for however many days. We get chucked out of a tournament. So they're essentially saying that football is more important than COVID when people are dying, losing jobs, houses and all sorts. So it's just all sorts of wrong there, you know, and you know, we had to play by the 31st of December, I think, but the next round isn't until February, so I don't understand why, but but at the end of the day, we didn't do enough to, we should have been through the group before that anyway, and in terms of feeling below us, I think, getting into it, I think you're probably right, but, you know, you're only as good as where you finish in the league, and if you finish in the conference places, that's how good you are. It's up to you to be better. But I think we took it seriously. I think the issue that we've got is the strength in depth in our second team, if you like, is just nowhere near good enough. And they got given chance after chance against Murva, Pacos, Vitesse, and just didn't come up trump. So then we have to bring our big guns on, Kane, Son, Højbjerg, Skip, Murva, to bail us out. It might benefit us in the long run. I think what a lot of fans not being happy about being in the first place is there's something to be said for not being in Europe and then having a league run without having to worry about Europe and then being able to play your top players. You had it when you won the league, Chelsea had it when they won the league the year later. And in terms of all the postponements, I think it could possibly help us this season because the games are likely to be played February, March time when you're going to be in Europe, probably West Ham. I don't think Arsenal are, but Man United are, Liverpool are, Chelsea are. And we'll have maybe FA Cup games, but that's it. And they're generally on weekends. So we'll be playing weekend. We'll obviously have a few games dotted in the week, which are these catch-up games, but we won't have Europe. We won't be traveling, playing for 3 weeks straight. So I think it could help us out. But it was the inaugural competition. We're the first English team to have won a European trophy way back when, and it was a chance to do it again and be history makers.
Was that the century before last, though, that one?
Yeah, I think that was the 1960s. but yeah, so,
well, that's the way I look at it, you know.
You don't want to go out of any competition, but Conte would have won, but our second string wasn't good enough, and we shouldn't have been kicked out because it's different if we've got a lot of injuries. Harry Kane's injured, Son's injured, Højbjerg's injured, Moore's injured. Can we play it a bit later? No. But this is COVID. You know, you've got to kind of understand what the world is in. It's the same with the politicians who don't understand the the lesser people, the lower down people than themselves. Mm. And they can't relate to them at all. And UEFA are essentially saying, COVID doesn't matter, football matters. And no, COVID matters. Football is just a game at the end of the day. And for us to be kicked out sends a terrible message that COVID isn't important, football's more important.
Oh, I think it does, totally.
Yeah,
well, without getting too political, I think you should have played the game in the on the back lawn at number 10 and you could have said it was a party or a meeting or whatever. to me, this you know, if we win it, it'll be the quiz question for the next, 30 years, which English team win the inaugural cup competition. I mean, do you think, and I'll let you go after this question, very quick question, do you think Leicester can win it? You've been in it, seen the standards that was in there.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got some Europa teams coming down, I'm not sure who, but I think you've got Roma as well who are in it. They'll obviously be one of the favourites, but you're a good team. You attack teams and fortune favours the brave in those situations. If you can shore your defence up, then there's no beat. And get your players back. The Vardy's back and the Iniesta's not injured. He'll be back in 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yeah, he'll be back.
No reason you can't win it. It's just... Yeah, I mean, all the European competitions, it's the same as the World Cup and the Euros. The groups don't really matter. That's a ridiculous point. But the tournament starts in the knockout games. The groups are just about getting through. We battered Real Madrid at home in Champions League in 17-18, I think. And we were all crowing over that. We beat Real Madrid. They went on to win it that year. They scraped through that group. And when we got to the final, we scraped through with a draw at the Nou Camp. And so it's all about scraping through the group. Now the tournament starts in the knockout stages. There's no reason why you can't win it. And you obviously need a bit of luck on who you get and everything like that. But, no reason you can't. You've got the team to cause problems for anybody.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for coming on today. Actually, I'm conscious of the time for you. I wish you all the best for the rest of the season. Not tomorrow. I hope we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll say the same to you.
Before you go, I mean, your contact details, your follow details are in the description below on YouTube. But just give a quick shout out to your socials and where people can find you again.
Yeah, so it's Let's Talk Tottenham on YouTube. It's Mondays 8 p.m., 12:30 p.m. on Fridays. It's at L Talk Tottenham on Twitter. Also on podcasts as well. So and make sure you give Chris's channel here a like, subscribe if you haven't already. And pleasure to be on, and thanks so much for inviting me. And Even despite the horrible, horrible jokes about what a trophy is, I've still enjoyed it. But thank you so much for inviting me.
There's not many clubs we can say it to, so we've got to be kind of, It gets a bit worrying when your fans start singing, when you're playing like Derby or Forest, that you've never won the league, and we've won the league. Yes, they have. If you go back far enough, they have, Hey, take care, mate. Thanks so much for coming on. And as I say, I'm not even going to say may the best team win tomorrow. May Leicester win tomorrow.
May Tottenham win.
Cheers, buddy. No doubt we'll feature you later in the season.
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Thanks to Chris there. He's got to go because he's got another show coming up. Please, would you do this for me?
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Please, please subscribe. We're nearly at 1.1 on the followers. I'm one off. I'm at 1099. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the channel. You don't have to if you don't want to do notifications. It just therefore sits that you subscribe to us, and it does help us with YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed, please do. I was going to go through some quick questions here. I'm well, Nippon. How the devil are you? Are you still on your show, or did you finish that eventually? I kept going away, Nippon, during that show. I'd come back 20 minutes later. You're still on. I think you've done 3 hours the last time that I checked. I hope it went well. Yes, I do, Anthony. I know him. He's a great guy, great laugh. Was absolutely pooed on by certain people during his time when we won the league and everything that happened. But he's a great lad. And I've had him on and I've been on his. So, yeah, I don't know. Mike, I don't know. He's gone now, so I can't say that. Sorry. Hello, Neil. Thanks for joining us. How the devil are you? I say he had to go, so I couldn't ask him. We did discuss it earlier, and as we were saying there, we both got problems in defence. He's not, he's worried about his defence. We hopefully, touch wood, fingers crossed, got Miura back. Not Miura back, that's because of Mike's, what it might say. Justin back. It'd be great to see him, but I don't think he's going to get a full 90. Who knows? But it's just great having, it's like a new signing. It's like a new signing. So, yeah, we've both got problems. Both like to play attacking football. It could be a goal fest. Let's hope this time it's in our favour. Ransom React all the way from Zambia. Good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Thanks for joining us. Hope you are well and safe over there. That's, I wish I could have asked him that, because we know he would have said Tottenham. Chris says, sorry, Anthony says, I bought a Leicester top from eBay. Best £3 I spent. Well, I couldn't find an Arsenal shirt on eBay, mate. I had to go to the local charity shop. They were giving them away. Dan, Subin, thank you very much, Dan. Yes, indeed. I would really do appreciate that. Mike Green, great show. Thanks very much, Mike. I did try messaging. We'll get that pod thing sorted out, mate. I might have 10 minutes soon if you are free. And if you want to sub to somebody, please sub to Turf Moorhouse TV. Dan is a Burnley fan. You know, I have a bit of an affection for Burnley, having lived there for 20 years, having had my 4 kids there, and I love it because I was able to leave. People say to me, what was the best thing about Burnley? I say, leaving it. sorry, Dan. But if we get him, he's close, if we can get him to 300 subs, he will have a hot chili chip, which apparently, and I can't eat spicy food because I've got heartburn, but apparently, yeah. He's actually doing it live from his toilet because I think probably just going to go straight through him, you know, whilst listening to Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, probably. Hey, I'm going to be back in a bit. I will be back in 56 minutes. We're going to have with myself, Brad, and of course, ex-Leicester City player Steve Linex. We're going to be doing the prediction show. That'll be fun, won't it? What a season. What a season I picked to start doing a prediction show, eh? Yeah, I should have predicted it was going to all go wrong. Half the games aren't going ahead. A's beating B when you think that B are going to absolutely trounce A. Oh, I don't know. Hey, one thing, if you're into darts, if you like your darts, then get over to this guy's channel, Mike Green. I don't see the point of darts myself. See what I did there. But yeah, if you like darts coverage, darts talk, Mike Green TV, get over and give him a sub. He does a lot, he's doing a lot of dart content at the moment. Where are we doing here? Damn, not like a new signing. Yes, Michael, like a new sign. We haven't had him for like a year. He's been out for a year. So technically, I don't know if we've got him registered or not. Anthony, thank you very much, young man. Thanks for that. Aaron White, 8. I'm not sure about that one. You have to explain to me. Mella, good evening. Is it Mella? Mila? Mella? I don't know. Hope you're well, but I was upset to hear you want us relegated. Do you know what, mate? Do you know what? Nothing personal. I want Norwich relegated. I don't have anything against Watford. Well, I do have a lot. I do have something against Watford. Playoff semi-final. Do you remember it? Yeah, so, yeah. Let me stick with I want Watford relegated. Now, the reason I want Watford relegated is just simply the way you treat your managers. You got rid of a manager when you're in 12th. You brought in Ranieri. How's that going for you? Norwich, yeah. And Sheffield United, I wanted them to go down. I love Sheffield United because I like the smaller teams, but the way they treated their manager last season, no, I wanted them down. Sorry on that. Mellor, I've just said that one. You deserve it, Mellor. You treat your manager. Exactly what I've just said. And I haven't seen that, Mike. That is exactly what I just said. Turf Moore, cracking show. Love you. And love you too, Daniel. I love you. If you didn't have Kate, I'd be up there. Wouldn't. we have a love-hate relationship, me and Dan. We love ourselves, hate each other. I'm going to go now, guys. Come back at 9, please, for the prediction show. As I have myself, Brad. Brad's leading quite easily. He's about 8 points ahead. I'm second. Steve is third, which basically the main reason I asked him on, because he's worse at it than me. But come on, it's a bit of fun. And trying to get the scores right, which we say never do. So we'll be back. Don't touch that dial, as they say. We'll be back at 9 o'clock. Stay safe. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening if you're listening on the podcast. Stay safe.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time. That's all, folks.
It is not over.